Thank you so much. All right, here we go. As yesterday we read in Parashas HaChodesh, we read about the command to have Karban Pesach, Amatzos, Umarim, Yochuhu. What happens? We have 10 plagues in Egypt. The Israelites have been in Egypt for 210 years. They have been slaves for 116 years. An institution of slavery. I am a slave. My grandfather's a slave. My great-grandfather is a slave. I will be here from the beginning of time to the end of time. And therefore, b'chal dar v'dar chayev adam l'rosis atzmo kiruhu yatzam in Mitzrayim. You left Egypt. You left bondage. You left slavery. With what kochos, with what powers did the Almighty redeem us from Egypt? Was it simply 10 makos that's nice to tell over at the Seder table? We take out some wine, dam ve'es v'sim rosh ashan. Make sure you take out some wine before loivecha al tismach. Don't be so happy when your enemies fall. Or is there a much deeper lesson in the 10 makos? This shir is going to actually take us through Perek Aleph of Sefer Bereishis. The beginning, and when I say the beginning, I mean the beginning of creation, to understand the 10 makos in a much deeper realm than they appear to be at face value. Very, very, what I hope will be fascinating journey for all of us. So what happens? On the 15th of Nisan at night, the B'nai Yisrael sit down in their homes around the Karban Pesach, Amatzos, Umarim, Yochuhu, Tzli Eish, it has to be. Hashem brings the final blow to an already devastated Egypt, Makos Bechoros, the plague and the death of the firstborn. Paro finally orders Moshe and Aaron to lead the nation to freedom. On the 15th of Nisan, the B'nai Yisrael leave centuries of slavery and begin their march to a hopeful future. We all know the 10 makos, Dam, Tzvardei, Akinim, Arav, Devar, Shechin, Barad, Arba, Choshech, Makos, Bechoros, from the time the children come out of kindergarten or maybe pre-run A, they can recite the makos for us. Let us move on and go way back in time. Back to Sheishas Yimei Bereishis. In 6 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and on the 7th day, He rested. If you could please open your hand out, please. Please make sure your Chumash is open to Perek 1 of Bereishis. You're going to need it. We're going through the entire Perek 1, Be'ezras Hashem. Where's the clock? Okay. You're going to need to be open to Genesis 1:1. Bereishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim ve'es ha-aretz. We're not getting there yet, but I will tell you when to look inside, please. Right? Day one. You can look on your handout. What I've delineated for you is that it says day one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty created light and dark. Day two was the firmament of the heavens. I'm reading from the top of your source sheet. Day three was the division of land and water, oceans, lakes, and rivers, plant life according to its kind. Day four, sun, moon, stars, heavenly bodies by which to tell time. Day five was fish and aquatic life and birds. Day six, land animals of their kind, including man. And day seven was Shabbos Kodesh. This is the order of creation. Hashem created our world in such a way that it runs according to the laws of Teva. Teva is defined as the natural order of the running of the world, what we call nature. So then we can ask a question. Will the sun rise tomorrow in the west? What's the answer? No. Is it going to run in the west? Is it going to rise in the west? No. Different question. Can it, if God wills, rise in the west tomorrow? Yes. 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 Will the sun rise in the west tomorrow? No. However, if God wills to change the creation, to change Teva, to change nature, can it rise in the west? Yes, it can. Absolutely. When the world runs according to nature, it is well and good, because this is the system that the Almighty instituted for Maisa Bereishis and the running of our world. The endurance and survival of our world depends on the world running according to Teva. Water should be in the right place. We don't have to go further than to remember Hurricane Sandy of a few years ago to know that when Teva is overturned, destruction emerges. That is how we're going to be understanding the Makos today. Chazal teach in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos 53b, Talmud Bavli, the rabbis taught, I'm quoting from the Gemara, it once happened that a man's wife died and left a child to be suckled. There's a baby who needs to be nursed. He could not afford to pay a wet nurse. What happened? A miracle, says the Gemara, was performed for him, and his teats opened like the teats of a woman, and he was able to nurse the child. A man is nursing. Rabbi Yosef observed, come see how great this man was, that such a miracle was done for him. On the contrary, said Abaya, how garua is the lashon of the Gemara. What is garua? How disgusting, how lowly, how not great that the order of creation had to be changed on his account. Nature is good. Vayar Elohim is called Asher Asa, Vihine Tov Me'ot. Elohim saw, the Pasuk says, the last Pasuk in Bereishis, in Perek Aleph, you don't have to turn yet. But the last Pasuk says, Elohim saw everything that he made, it was Tov Me'ot. Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker, Yom Shishi, it was evening, it was morning, it was the sixth day. When the world runs according to Teva, there is order. Seder. In fact, what do we call the night of Pesach? We don't call it the night of Haggadah, we don't call it the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we call it the night of order. When there is order in nature, in the world, in life, it's good. When there is Rachmana Litzlan, ISIS running rampant. When there is Hurricane Sandy, they're evacuating babies from the NICU in NYU. I remember watching down a pitch black stairwell because water's not where it's supposed to be. That's not Tov Me'od. That's an undoing of Maisa Bereishis. When we analyze the Malkos, the entire theory for today's shir, the entire foundation of the shir is this sentence. When we analyze the 10 Malkos, what emerges is the plagues were a reversal, undoing, and destruction of Maisa Bereishis. Going to repeat that sentence. Am I talking too fast? Is everyone with me? I'm going to repeat that sentence, and it's important. If you're taking notes, that's your heading for today's shir. We're going to go through the entire chapter Aleph, Perek Aleph of Bereishis, and we're going to go through each Makkah and see how each Makkah was an undoing of a stage of Bereishis. When we analyze the Makkos, I'm repeating my sentence again, what emerges is that the Makkos, the 10 plagues, were a reversal, undoing, and destruction of the order of creation. Keyword, order of creation. Pesach is Leil HaSeder. The Jew has to have order in his life. The nation must have order in our national life and destiny. Excuse me. The world must have order. So now let's go to the beginning. Okay? Which is Bereishis Perek Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Could everyone hear me? Yeah? Okay. Bereishis Perek Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Please open up. We're gonna go through the Pesukim in sections together. And please, no questions beyond into Maisa Bereishis beyond the scope of today's shir. Obviously, it's something we could spend a year or two just going through. It is one of the most esoteric parts of the Torah, Maisa Bereishis. We are today looking at the Pesukim on the level of the Pshat. Bereishis bara Elohim es ha-shamayim ves ha-aretz. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. That is the overview of what's coming. What is there before there is an order to Bereishis? Chaos. But not only, it's not just nothing. It's chaos. It's emptiness. It's havoc. It's confusion. There's a state of primordial darkness and confusion, and things don't have a place. And it's confusing and dark. There's tohu vavohu. Art school translated as bewilderment. I use the word confusion. And void. V'choshach al p'nei tohom. This isn't darkness like we understand darkness. When it gets dark at night, it's dark outside. It's some sort of prehistoric darkness. What is there? Only ruach alokim merachafas al p'nei hamayim. The surface, the presence, the spirit of God hovering over the surface of the water. No questions as to what that means, please. Vayomer alokim, alokim said, yihi ar, let there be light. Vayihi ar, look at this. There's light. Now again, we don't have the luminaries yet, but there's some sort of light that was created. Vayar Elohim es ha'ar ki tov, Elohim saw the light that it was good. Vayavda Elohim ben ha'ar uben ha'choshach. The Almighty separated between light and darkness. Vayikra Elohim la'ar yom, Elohim called the light day. V'la'choshach kara laila, he called the darkness night. Vayihi erev, it was evening. Vayihi boker, it was morning. Yom echad, one day. Okay. The first thing Hashem creates is light and darkness. If you go to your hand down now, please. We're going to need to go back over. Do not close Bereishis. We're going to pick up soon where we left off. I tried to make this as clear as possible for this shir. It's a lot of material. Arba. Second source on your handout. If you follow in order with me, it's not going to be confusing. What does the pasuk say in Sefer Shemos, Perek Yud? Whoops, pasuk Tesvav. Vayichas es ein kol ha'aretz. The locusts covered the face of the entire earth. Vatachshach ha'aretz. Now you have to remember that the entire premise for today's shiur is that there is an undoing of the order of each stage of Maisa Bereishis. If the first thing that was created was light, what does Arba bring in with it? Choshech. Vayochal is called Esav ha'aretz. It eats all the greenery, the grass of the field. But as called Pri ha'etz, all the fruit, the fruit from the trees. Asher hosir ha'bard, whatever was left over from Barad is now eaten by Arba, the locust. There was not one shred of grass, not one blade of grass left in the entire land of Egypt. Arba brings with it darkness. What should be light? It's the middle of the day. It's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. Why can't I see anything? All of a sudden, it is dark. Where there should be light on the earth, on the land, there's reverse and there's darkness. Darkness is even more undone if you look at Makas. Ladies? Choshech. It's even more undone in the plague of darkness, which is the next source on your handout. But it's from Sefer Shemos. It says 10, 21 through 23. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, and Hashem said to Moshe, Netei yadcha al ha-shamayim v'choshach, stretch your hands over the heavens, there will be darkness over the land of Egypt. Vayomesh choshach, and the darkness continued. The darkness will be very heavy. Vayet Moshe es yadu al ha-shamayim, I'm on your hand. Moshe stretched his hand over the heavens, and it was a thick, a choshach, a fela, a thick darkness in the entire land of Egypt for 3 days. No man could see his brother, no man could get up from his place for 3 days, and for the entire children of Israel, they had light in their dwelling places. This is not a regular darkness. This is a darkness that is darker than darkness, and I will tell you what Rashi says. I didn't give you Rashi's on the handout always, but if you're interested, it is Rashi to Sefer Shemos Perek Yod, Pasuk of Aleph, Rashi to Shemos chapter 10 verse 21. Rashi says, this is not regular choshech. Remember we said there was choshech al pnei tahom. It's not darkness like I understand dark. If you're in the forest or a desert in the middle of the night, I'm not talking about if you're in the city, and there are no lights, there's no source of electricity. And I was once zocha to be in Eretz Yisrael in the desert in the middle of the night, or maybe late at night when the sun had already set. The sky's not dark. It's a sight you have never seen. If you can't see, I can't describe. When I say millions, billions of stars, I mean millions, that's not dark. Dark, a primordial darkness that I can't conceive, that is pre-teva, is choshech al pnei tahom. What happens in the plague of choshech? Rashi to Shemos, Perek Yud, Pasuk of Aleph. Vayamesh choshech, the darkness will be darker. Vayachshich aleim choshech, yoser michoshko shalayla. This is, Rashi's proving our point. This is darkness that is darker than darkness of night. The choshech shalayla ya'amish v'yachshich od. The regular darkness that you're going to see tonight that you saw last night will become even darker than darkness. What is darker than darkness? Darker than darkness is va'aretz haisa sohu v'vohu, and the earth was chaos, emptiness, nothingness, confusion, v'choshech al pnei tahom. A primordial darkness that's so thick. How could it be that Rashi says they couldn't move? That doesn't make sense to us. When it's dark, can you move? Of course you can move. I might not be able to see. You could feel your way. So that's a proof that of course you can move. This darkness was so reminiscent of the prehistoric darkness that the people could not even move. It was an unnatural darkness. So what has been undone? Day one of Bereishis. You have separation between light and dark through these two makos, through the locust swarms. The pasuk says, "Vatachshach ha'aretz." You know nothing in the Torah. When you learn Torah, it's so tremendous. It's like a puzzle. But the pieces are scattered all over. And your job, Hashem says, is to take the pieces and put them together. Where do you see choshech and choshech? What could the connection possibly be? Which pieces go together? And when you finish putting it together, you have the most beautiful kavi'acha, ahavde alav avdalos, puzzle you ever saw. It's so beautiful. What do we see by choshech? Choshech is undone with arba, with locust swarms. You have the source on your handout. And it is undone with choshech, adding in the Rashi, who tells us it is much darker than regular darkness. It's not when you go outside to your car at midnight. It's prehistoric. How do I know? Rashi says it's darkness at night. Rashi says the people couldn't move. I don't even know what that means. You don't know what it means because it refers to choshech al pnei tohu. Let's move on. Next, day two, going back to Perek Alpha Bereshis. Okay? So where did we leave off? We left off at Pasuk Vav, so you should be at Pasuk Vav. I'm in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. Again, you're going to have to go back and forth between the handout and Bereshis. Vayomer, is everyone with me? Bereshis Perek Alpha Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Elohim, and Elohim said, Yehi Rakia Besoch HaMayim. Okay, let there be a firmament, a division between Vehi Mavdil Ben Mayim LaMayim. It should separate between water to water. Vayas Elohim Eser Rakia, and he made the firmament, and it separated between waters that were below the heavens and waters that were above the firmament, and it was so. So we have this idea of water below and water above. And again, I said, please no questions on exactly how we understand all the elements of Sheishas Yimei Bereishis. I cannot understand all the elements of Sheishas Yimei Bereishis. But we have, for purposes of our learning and our understanding on the level of the Pshat, you have a division between lower water and upper water. Vayikra Elohim l'Rakia Shamayim. Elohim called the upper waters Shamayim. Okay, we know what that is. And sometimes it rains from Shamayim. I have water up there. I have moisture up there. Vayihi erev, vayihi boker, yom sheni. It was evening, it was morning, it was the second day. Very good. Don't look at your hand, and if you did already, okay, fine. Who remembers what Rashi says, if you did not look at your hand, though? Who remembers what Rashi says to Bereishis Perek Aleph Pasuk Ches? Why is it called Shamayim, if you didn't look? Shamayim, one of them is Shamayim, there is water. Okay, look on your hand down. Okay? It says Genesis 1, 6 through 8. I didn't give it to you because we're going through Bereshis together. And way in order of your hand, okay? We finished Makos Choshech. We're in the next source. What does Rashi to verse 8 say? Shamayim. Rashi gives three reasons for why it's called Shamayim. Shamayim, the heavens carry waters. Shamayim, there in heaven there is water. And what's the last reason which I underlined for you? Oh, well, now it seems so obvious now that we're understanding the Makos through Masa Bereishis. I'm not surprised. In the heavens, the way Hashem created the firmament of the heavens, there's water and fire. It's up there. Hashem mixed fire and water together. But the mixture of fire and water remains in another realm. It remains in another world. For the purposes of Teva, do fire and water come together? Either, if you leave a pot of water boiling and there's only an inch of water and you turn your flame up to high, what's going to happen to the water? It's going to be destroyed by the fire. Ad kedei kach, that you could have a fire. Chalila v'chas. Or, if it's a small fire and you pour water, you're going to put it out. For the realm of Teva, Seder, the running of our world, do water and fire mix? No. Where do they stay together? Only in Shamayim. How do we know that? Because the Pasuk says he calls it Shamayim, and Rashi tells me, Eishmayim. It could not be more fantastic. Which, of course, you should already be thinking of when the order of nature is reversed. I'm going to undo the world. One second, please. I'm going to undo the world. Let me get through this matzah, and then I'm going to take your question on this day. Please look at your handout. Shemos 9:24, Perek Tes, Pasuk Avdalet. Again, I'm going in order of your handout. Vayihi Barad. There's Barad. What's Barad? Hail. What's inside the special Barad? One second, please. Let me get through this day and this math, and then I will take your questions, okay? Vayihi bara, there was hail. Ve'esh mislakachas besocha barad. Something is very unique. This bara, this hail that comes down from Shamayim, Eshmayim, is not regular bara that you and I have seen. If we're undoing Sheishas Yimei Bereishis, then I have to undo order. Then the Eshmayim has to come down. Where is it supposed to be according to Teva? What happens when God undoes Sheishas Yimei Bereishis? It comes down. What does the pasuk say? The Eish Mislakachas Besochabar. There is fire flaming inside the hail. Kaved Ma'od. It's so heavy. There never was such a thing. Why was there never such a thing? Because from the time of creation, it's supposed to stay up there. Vayar Elokim et kol asher asa v'hine tov me'od. Order is fantastic. And to quote my sons, they would say, it's geschmack, it's great up there. However, the fire-water mixture no longer remains in Shemayim. When the order of nature is reversed, it comes down. And I want to tell you what Rashi says to Shemos 9:24. Again, I did not give you all the Rashis. I'm going to quote it for you. Rashi, to Perek Tes, Pasuk of Dad, and Shemos says something fascinating. We started off by quoting the Gemara in Shabbos 53b. Is a nace good according to Abaye or not good? The man is able to nurse his child. How garua, how lowly, how terrible that order of creation had to be reversed for you. You know what Rashi says? Mislakachas b'soch habarad, flaming within the hair, nace b'toch nace. It was a miracle within a miracle. Ha'esh v'habard me'aravim. How could it be that fire and water are mixing together? The habarad mayim hu, Rashi says straight out, the ice, the hail, it's water. How could it be? The la asos ritzon konam asu shalom beinehim. To do the will of their creator, which was to undo my separations. They made peace between one another. So now we could say, again, and now I bring you a Rashi, a proof. That's from Shemos, Perek Tes, Pasuk of Dalet. Could the sun rise in the west if Hashem wills it? Yes. Will it? Hopefully not. Because if it does, it signifies disaster. Why? Because the world has run according to Teva. They made peace between themselves, fire and water, in order to do the Ritzon Konam. A reversal of order, a reversal of creation, a reversal of Sheishas Yemei Bereishis. Okay? That's on day two. Day two had been undone with which plague? Bara, tail. Okay, there were two comments. You end up, wait, I have a hearing loss, and I'm attached, so I need you to speak up. Eish Mayim, that's from Rashi. That's a quote. It's on your handout. Where it says Genesis 1, colon, 6 through 8, with Rashi to verse 8. Shamayim, Samayim, Shamayim, Eish Mayim. That's Rashi to that pasuk. You had a comment. That's what I said. We don't know. Somewhere Hashem has Eish Mayim in the realms of heaven. Maybe it means stars are the sun is fire. Stars are fire. When you see like a constellation, not a constellation, a comet, it's a tail of fire that the star is burning out. So there is clearly some realm of fire up there. Okay? Light, very nice. Lightning?
Lightning.
Lightning. Yeah, very nice. Very, very nice. It burns when it comes down, when it descends. There is some element of fire within the realm of Shemayim. Very nice. Lightning. Beautiful. Day three. Let's go back to Sefer Bereishis. Should all be very clear. We're going in order. Perek Bereishis, Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk Perek Tes. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes. Where we left off. Vayomer Elokim, and Elokim said, Yikavu Hamayim Mitachas HaShemayim El Makom Echad. You know what? It's not good what we had by sand, he said the Almighty. I can't have water all over the place, in the inlands, in the hospitals, in the tunnels. What's going on here? No, all the waters to go to one place. V'seira'a Hayabasha. We need to see some dry land. Here's Manhattan, here's Long Island, here's Eretz Yisrael. Waters, grab hold of yourself. One place. Vayikra Elokim Layabasha. Alright, now we have ground, the dry land became land. Ulemikveh hamayim, to the pools, note the word mikvah, to the pools of water he called seas, and Elokim saw it was good. But furthermore, vayomer Elokim, same day, tadasha haaretz desha, let the earth sprout forth vegetation, asev, grass, mazria zera, bringing forth seed, eitzpri, fruit trees, osepri, making fruit, limino, according to its kind, that its seed is in it over the earth, and the land, I mean, pasuk yudbeis of Bereishis, and the land sprouted forth greenery, giving seeds according to its kind, and trees making fruit, that its seed is in it according to its kind. Elokim saw it was good, it was evening, it was morning, it was Yom Shlishi is the third day, or day three. Okay, where do we see the undoing of this element? We just had the creation of plant life. Okay? If you look on your handouts, please. Did someone say something? Oh, you're guessing ahead. Okay. So with the plague of hail, okay, let's first look. We just spoke about hail. It says on your handout, with the plague of hail, I'm just going in order here, came the destruction of plant life. You have, it's from a quote from Exodus chapter 9, verse 25, Parakhtes Pasuk of Hay. Vayachabard b'chal eretz Mitzrayim es kol asher basada. And the hail, which we're speaking about, hid in the land of Egypt, everything in the field from man to beast. The es kol esav hasada, this word should be very reminiscent of what we just saw by Sheshes Yemei Bereshis. Esav Hasada, when have I already seen Esav Hasada? Didn't I see Esav Hasada by Maisa Bereshis? The bara, the hail hit, that's called Eitz Hasada Shiber. All those trees, all that greenery, all that grass, all that fruit and vegetation that was created in day 3 is all of a sudden, what happens, ladies? It's undone. It's undone. And furthermore, with the locust swarm, on your handout, Shemos, Perek Yud, Pasuk Tesvav, says Exodus 10:15 for you. Vayechasas ein kol ha'aretz. What happened? The locust covered the eye of the land. We've already spoken about the choshech. Now we're speaking about Vayechas kol esav ha'aretz ves kol peri ha'aretz. Is that not so reminiscent of the lashon that we just explored in day 3 of Sheshes Yemei Bereshis? The parsha is telling you. The pasuk is telling you, remember that grass, remember that greenery, remember that fruit tree that was created in the beginning to give order to the earth. Whatever has been left over from the hail has now been obliterated. Ad kedei kach, v'lo nosar kol yerak ba'etz uve'esav hasada. If you compare the lashon, the terminology in this pasuk with what we have just seen in Sefer Bereshis, the comparison is astonishing. Everything that was created in day 3, Esav Hasada, Eitz Hasada, Eitz Pri, has been utterly destroyed in 2 makos, one with hail and 2 with the locust swarm. All of a sudden, there's no more liminehu, there's no more according to its kind upon which the order of creation rests. The order of creation exists with species being with their, liminehu, according to their kind. Man with woman, according to its kind. That was the sin of the Nachash. Besides for the Lashon Hara, Chazal say, he wanted to be intimate with Chava. He figures she's going to give Adam the fruit of the Eitz Hadas. Adam will die and the snake will hook up with her. No, says the Almighty. Liminehu. We saw 5 times in this passage when it comes to the creation of day 3 that the psukim say, liminehu. The apple tree according to its kind. The orange tree according to its kind. And in fact, we are forbidden from what? Grafting. Mixing. Why? Because Hashem created the world the way it's supposed to be. One moment, please. I made a bracha before I started. It's unbelievable. Is everyone with me? It's clear? Okay. All of a sudden, there's no order of its kind. All of a sudden, water and fire are flying down from their place in Shamayim. Shamayim? Eshmayim. All of a sudden, plant life is haphazard, attacked, chaotically destroyed by animal life. All of a sudden, there's no Seder. Seder. Order. Teva. Sheshes Yemei Bereshis. What a better way to punish Pharaoh than to undo Maisa Bereshis. All of a sudden there's chaos. Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, says, what happens when the world descends into chaos? You go back to the beginning. What was the beginning before Bereshis? The Aretz Haisa, Tohu V'Vohu. It doesn't mean nothing. It means chaos. It means a primordial confusion. It means haphazardness. It means nothing as a place. It means nothing's in its kind. It means, Rahman al-Atslan, ISIS. It means, God forbid, a tornado or a hurricane. It means the Ten Makos. We go back to Tohu, V'Vohu, V'Choshech, Al-Pnei Tehom. Let us move on. Okay, day 4. Please look into your Chumash. Bereshis. Don't close the Bereshis and keep the place on the handout. Okay, ready? Parak Aleph, Pasuk Yudalet. I'm in Bereishis, where we left off. Vayomer Elokim, this is very, very beautiful, considering that yesterday was Rosh Chodesh, by the way. Right? We're in Chodesh Nishan, a Chodesh Tov to all. Vayomer Elokim, and Elokim said, Yehi Me'oros Berakia. Listen to this, ladies. There should be luminaries in the firmaments of the heaven. Lahavdil Beina Yamu Beina Laila. I want separation between day and night. Vahayu, what is the purpose of the luminaries? So I ask you, what's the purpose of the sun and the moon? You might tell me to tell the difference between day and night, which is how we tend to think of the sun and the moon. But that's not correct. Why isn't that correct? Because we already saw by day one that night, that light and darkness is for Yom and Laila. You with me? If you look back to day one of creation, please don't look back. If you look back to day one of creation, we looked at the verses together. The Almighty created light and dark. Light and dark, He called the light Yom. He called the dark Laila. The primary purpose of the luminaries is to tell time. Time. Look at the pasuk. V'hayu la'osos, they will be for signs. L'mo adim, when my children come home and they learn this, they translate it as and for the yamim tovim. L'mo adim, you tell me, when's the yantif? I need to go out and say kiddush levana. I need to determine Rosh Chodesh. Then I'm going to know when yantif is. U'le yamim, and for days, v'shanim years. The Torah itself tells us the primary purpose of the heavenly luminaries is not for day and night. We already had day and night. The primary purpose of the luminaries is to know when am I going to sit down with my korban Pesach and have Pesach. There will be luminaries in the heavens. Once I'm telling time, let's give them something else to do. They'll give light upon the earth when it was so. Parak Tes Zion. I will tell you when to look out of Bereishis to go back to your handout. And Elohim made the two great luminaries, the great luminary to rule by day, the sun, the smaller luminary to rule by night, the moon and the stars. Hashem put them in the firmament of the heavens to cast light upon the earth, to rule by day and by night, to separate between light and darkness. Elohim saw it was good. Why is it good? Because again, I'm going to say it, I don't know, maybe 10 more times, because order in Bereishis is good. I'm not saying it. Parak Aleph says it over and over. Vayihi Erev, Vayihi Boker, Yom Ravi. It was evening, it was morning. What day has just been created? Fourth day. What's Choshech? What happened to the Mitzvim during Choshech? Besides for the darkness, which we already spoke about. Darkness was undone for day one of creation. But what happened during Choshech? Ready? The gift of time, which was established during Sheishas Yemei Bereishis, was undone in Sheishas Yemei Afela. Did you hear what I said? The gift of time, which was created during Sheishas Yemei Bereishis, was undone during Sheishas Yemei Afela. How many days was there darkness for? Unbelievable. How many days? Six. How many days in which did God create the world to let it run by order? Six. How do we know there were, why were there 6 days? During the first 3 days, they couldn't see. During the subsequent 3 days, they could not move. What does this mean? By the way, that's Rashi to Shemos 10:22 for your own reference, okay? Rashi tells us to Shemos, Perek Yod, Pasuchov Beis, for your own reference. Rashi says, they could not see each other during the first 3 days, they could not move during the next 3 days. Listen to my next sentence, please. Time during the 6 days of creation became useful and meaningful. L'ma'oros, l'ma'adim, l'yamim, u'l'shanim. You have time. You could have a yantif. You could have a day. What are you going to do with your 24 hours? Are you going to be productive? Are you going to learn Torah? Are you going to daven? Are you going to do chesed? You're going to smile at somebody else. You're going to bring joy. You're going to wash your laundry. Because I should be clean. I'm going to sweep my floor because my home is a bais. The Kohen swept the ashes. I'm going to sweep my floor. Make it a mitzvah. What are you going to do with your time? La'osos, la'mo'adim, la'shanim, la'yamim. I give you the gift of time. During Sheishas Yemei Bereishis. Well, what happened during Sheishas Yemei Afela? 6 days of darkness. Listen to my sentence. During creation, time became useful and meaningful. During Sheishas Yemei Afela, time became useless and meaningless. As the Egyptians sat motionless, only waiting for the light of redemption. What does it mean they couldn't even move? They couldn't be productive. They couldn't be creative. They couldn't do. They couldn't cook a meal. They couldn't talk to a friend. They couldn't learn a shtick Torah. They couldn't say a kapitel Tehillim. They couldn't work the fields or build a pyramid. What could they do? Nothing. Time, which was given to us during Sheishas Yemei Bereishis Lamo Adim, as my children say, V'yamim Tovim, V'yamim L'shanim, was undone during Sheishas Yemei Afela. No more time. Those who enslaved others were now enslaved to darkness itself. What a beautiful Mida Keneged Mida, measure for measure punishment. What did the Egyptians take away from the Yidden? What did he take away from the Israelite slaves? The ownership of time. Who did the time belong to if you're a slave? Does it belong to you? Can you daven when you want to daven if you're a slave? We only need to go back 70 so years to when? Rachmana Litzlan, the Holocaust. Can you blow shofar if you're a slave in the right time? Could you bake matzah and eat matzah in the right time? Could you sit in a sukkah? Could you put on tefillin? Could you light your Shabbos candles? Why not? You don't own time if you're a slave. Your master owns your time. The Egyptians took time away from Kal Yisrael. Okay, said the Almighty, Mida Kenegan Mida, I'm going to undo you, May Bereshus. No more for you, Yami Menshanim. I'm going to take away your time. They sat motionless, waiting for the light of redemption. By the way, this gives us a beautiful insight into Parshas HaChodesh, which we read yesterday in Shul. What is the first mitzvah we were given upon redemption? HaChodesh HaZal Lachem Rosh Chodashim Rishon Hu L'Chodshei Hashanah. Perek Beis. Perek Yud Beis of Sefer Shmos. Oh, don't open it up. I was going to say open it up. Then I'm saying don't open it up. Why were we given? The gift of time. Nothing symbolizes our freedom more than owning time. It's yours again. Make it useful. Be productive. What are you going to do? Bless you. What are you going to do with your time? Let's go on. Back to Bereishis. Day 5. Okay. Perek Chof in Perek Aleph. No. Perek Aleph Pasuk Chof. Wait. Before we go on day 5, is everyone with me? Do you have any questions? You have a question? No. Okay, I know it's the first time learning with many of you, but are you having fun? Not even smiling. Are you fit? Okay. Yes? No? It's good? It's amazing. Keep going. Don't waste time. Let's go. Perchof, Pasuk Aleph. Ayomer Elohim. Elohim said, Yishrutzu Hamayim Sheretz. Let the waters teem, nefesh chaya, with life forms. Now we're going to have birds. Va'ofia, ofeif, ala arts. The creation of birds are coming over the face of the heavens. Pay attention to Pasuk of Aleph. Va'yivra alokim es hataninim hagadolim. God created the mighty sea giants and all the life forms that creep in the waters. Liminehem, according to its kind. And all the winged birds according to its kind. And alokim saw that what? It was good. And Elohim created them, and he said, be fruitful and multiply, fill up the waters in the waters, and the birds shall be in the heavens flying. And it was evening, and it was morning, day 5. Okay, so we had the creation of water life, aquatic life, and also the creation of birds. If we look at the plague of both Dam and Tzfardea, it affects the water, and it doesn't only affect the water, but it also affects animal life in the water, the aquatic life. If you look on your handout, it says Exodus 7, that's Shemos Perek Zion, 19 through 21. What happened? I'm in your handout. 7, 19 through 21. It says blood, dumb. And Hashem said to Moshe, say to Aaron, take your staff and stretch it over the gatherings of water and over their rivers and their streams and their ponds and any pools of water, there will be blood. And there was blood through the whole land of Egypt. Rashi says, even in the water that pooled in the trees and in the stones. Moshe and Aaron did so, and he lifted his hand, and the water that was in the river before the eyes of Pharaoh and the servants, all the water turned to blood. The hadaga asher bayar mesa, the fish in the rivers died, and the river stank. It became dried up. It became not usable. And the Egyptians could not drink the water. So what we see here, ladies, is that not only was the water affected, but so was the aquatic life within the water. The aquatic teeming life that was created to steam in the water is undone when? In the plague of dam. Vayivash hayar. The river was squalid and not livable and not a condition for all the teams in the water. Therefore, vahadagasher bayar mesa. We see the undoing of the aquatic life. Furthermore, I pointed out, okay, let's look at frogs next. Frogs, interesting that in frogs as well, the waters were also stricken. Because frogs, not toads, frogs live in the water. It's on your handout, it says Exodus 8, 1 through 2. And Hashem said to Moshe, say to Aaron, stretch your staff over the rivers again, and on the streams and on the ponds, and bring up the frogs. Aaron stretched his hand over the water, the frogs came up. We don't tend to think of frogs as being associated with the water. But if you look in the psukim, it clearly is. It's on your handout for you. It's very, very clear. Where do the frogs come from? The streams, the rivers, the ponds. Aaron stretches his hand over the waters, and the frogs come up from the water. So we see that water, aquatic life, was destroyed with these two plagues. Blood and frogs. Dam and Tzfardeya. Not only was it bloody water, no, it wasn't bloody water. Not only was it blood instead of water, but the aquatic life created could no longer survive. Paro thought he was God. He used to go to the bathroom where? Not in his palace. He would go down in the morning early. Hashem says to Moshe, meet him by the river early in the morning. Why was he by the river early in the morning? What was he doing there? Relieving himself, because I am a God. He thought he controlled the mighty Nile. In fact, the pasuk says in Yechezkel, and it's on your handout, Yechezkel 9:23. Hineni alecha paro melech Mitzrayim. Behold, I am unto you, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Hatanim hagadol, the great river monster, the great sea creature. Harovets besoch yarav, that crouches in your river, in his river. But Pharaoh thought it was my river. Pharaoh thought he was in control of the sea giants. Paro thought the river was his. How do we know? Look at the pasuk in Yechezkel. Asher Amar, that Paro said, Liya Ori, the river is mine. Not only is it mine, but Ani Asisini, I have made it. Who did Paro think? But Ani Asitini. No, it's a quote about Paro saying it. Asher Amar, it's talking about Paro. Right? Okay, well look it up. You could be right and I could be wrong. Liya Ori, the river is mine. Nevertheless, Paro thought he was, you could be right. Okay, we can look it up. It's Paro thought that he was the river god. We know that. Rashi tells us that. He went to the bathroom in the river. He controlled the river, which is fascinating. I'll tell you something fascinating. I'm saying you could be right. I could be wrong. No, I don't believe it's a spelling mistake. I said, well, look it up, but I do not believe it's a spelling mistake. That I am almost positive. But I want to tell you something fascinating. I don't know your name. I want to tell you something amazing. The fact that he thought, just as an aside, coming up to Mitzrayim and Yetzias Mitzrayim and Moshe Rabbeinu leading us out, why it answers one of the reasons as to why Rabbi Ari Khan explains he let Batya keep Moshe. Why did Pharaoh let Batya keep Moshe? What's going on? You bring me home a Hebrew child and I'm going to keep the child? What are you, nuts? Call a Bene Yara Yara Tashlichu and you're telling me you want to raise the Hebrew? So Rabbi Ari Khan says something amazing. The river was a god. Who was the god of the river? Pharaoh, which he believed he was the god of the river. If this child came out of the river, it's a godly child. It must be a sign from the gods. Min hamayim mishisihu. I drew this godly child out of the godly river that I control. Therefore, says Rabbi Ari Khan, he let her keep the child because he wasn't just a Hebrew child. He was a destiny. He was the fate of the river gods. And who ultimately is in control of the river gods? Pharaoh thought he was. As far as an ESCTini being a typo, I'm almost sure that it's not. In terms of the translation, we will look it up after the shir. Nevertheless, it does not negate the point of the shir, which is Li Ori, I am in charge of the river. Yeah. Okay. The Tanim Hagadol, the great, I don't know if it's referring to Pharaoh or to the great sea giant that crouches in his river. Harovetz Pesoch Ya'orav, it's in his river. He's in control of the destiny of the river. There's the sun god. It's obviously not a monotheistic society. There are many gods that control different elements of creation. But the ultimate god, the ultimate deity, is who? Pharaoh himself. Right? And we saw in Maisa Bereshis, it's Hashem, of course, who creates and controls Hataninim Hagdolim. This is a one-hour shir, is that correct? Okay, we started a couple minutes late because we were giving up Bereshis. Okay, let's go on. Right? And after we'll look up the pasuk from Yechezkel together. Okay, where am I? We have just undone birds, and we have seen the undoing of aquatic life. We saw aquatic life. What happens during both Dam and Tzfardea, they are undone. And what emerges is as follows. We can say that, ready? Teva is hidden wonders. Teva is hidden miracles. The Ramban, Nachmanides, says all of Teva is really a nace. There's no such thing as by chance. There's no such thing as nature. Who's ultimately in control of nature? Not Pharaoh. Who's in control of nature? The Almighty. Teva is hidden wonders. The undoing of Teva is revealed wonders. If Teva is hidden wonders, it's a nace that the sun rises in the east. You understand? It's a nace. It's a nace that I could see in the morning, that I could hear, that my heart beats. Take a breath. It's a miracle. Every breath is a miracle. How does it work? But it's a miracle in Teva. It's a hidden miracle in Teva. The undoing of Bereshis is a revealed miracle. Let's go up. Day 6. Back to the Bereshis. Perak Aleph Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Okay? Perak Aleph Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Let's go, ladies. Vayomer Elokim. Elokim said, Totze ha'aretz nefesh chaya. Let the earth bring forth living animals. Lemina. Again, according to its kind. Beasts and creeping things and beasts of the field, animals of the field according to its kind. So what is Hashem creating? A pasuk chafei is creating animals. Chaya sa'aris, the beast of the field according to its kinds. And behema, we have animals according to its kind. Creeping things, we have the creation of animals. Okay, very good. Animals are created. Each according to its kind. In those two verses, pasuk chaf dalet and pasuk chafei of Bereshis, of Perak Aleph, it says 5 times. The animals are created according to their kind. That means penguins stay in the Arctic. Arctic foxes stay in the Arctic. It means the wildebeests are on the Masai Mara Desert in Africa. According to its kind. Be where you're supposed to be. Live where you're supposed to live. Mate with who you're supposed to live with. When is that undone? What does Arov mean? A great mixture, a great confusion. Last pasuk on page 1. Ki im ein chamishaleich asami, if you don't send. Last pasuk on page 1 of your handout. I believe it should be on the bottom of page 1. It says Exodus 8:17. If you do not send my nation, I will send amongst you and your servants and your nation and your homes esha arav. What is arav? A great mixture of wild beasts. And they refill the homes of Mitzrayim with a great mixture and the land that they are upon. So here we have Arav, a mixture of wild beasts. It is no longer, ladies, each according to its kind. I wrote in my notes, cold climate animals mix with hot climate animals. Herbivores mix with carnivores. Small animals with large animals. Predator with prey. Let us undo the order of Bereshis. Let us undo animals according to its kind in their place. And in fact, you know what Rashi says on that pasuk on 8:17 to Shavuos, Rashi says, I'm quoting Rashi, all sorts of wild animals and beasts, snakes and scorpions, key words in a disordered assortment. If we're undoing my separations, then we're going to send all the beasts in a great mixture, in a great multitude. Furthermore, Dever, that with Dever, page 2 please, Parak Tes, pasuk Gimel, page 2 of your handout, top pasuk. Behold, the hand of Hashem will be in your cattle that is in the fields, in the horses, in the donkeys, in the camels, in the sheep, and the cattle. Dever kaved ma'od, heavy plague. Everyone's listening? Animal life created on day 6 was undone in 2 stages. This is important because there's going to be a parallel with the undoing of human life. Animal life was undone during the Makos, not in one stage, but in two. First, it's undone in the great mixed multitude. Rashi says, disordered assortment, arosh. How could it be that the polar bears with the, with the giraffe? This makes no sense. How could it be that I have predator and prey? Undo the animal life in two stages. The first stage is undoing of liminehu, and the second stage is death. The first stage is undoing of liminehu, and the second stage of undoing of animal life on day six is, what's the plague, ladies? Of dever. What happens to the animals? They die. At this stage, there's death and destruction of what was created on day six, animals, in two stages. And that mimics what happens to man as well. Who else is created on day six? Human beings. And as we're going to see, just as animal life was reversed in two stages, disordered assortment, and then what? Then comes death. So too with people. Because if you please look, let's go back to Sefer Bereishis, Perek Aleph. Pick up where we left off. Pasuk Chavav. Perek Aleph in Bereishis, Pasuk Chavav, exactly where we left off. Vayomer Elokim. Elokim said, Nasa Adam Bitzalmenu Kidmesenu. Man is made in our image and in our likeness. He will rule. This is key words. He will rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the heaven and the beasts of the field and anything that creeps. Ladies, man is meant to rule over the world, nature. Man is not meant to rule over fellow man. Pharaoh did not understand this. Pharaoh believed he could rule over other human beings. The Yirdubid Gasayan, conquer nature, conquer science, rule over plants, rule over beasts, prepare a nice piece of basar v'dagim for your Shabbos table, it's okay. But don't rule over man. What is emerging is that if man does not appreciate the Seder to Teva, Mida Keneged Mida, Hashem will take it away from you. He will undo it for you. You don't like it. You don't want it. You're not pleased with Liminehu. You're not pleased with the order of Sheishas Yimei Bereishis. You don't want to control the aquatic life, but you want to control human life. I'm going to take it away from you. Where do we see that man? And then in Pasuk of Zion, Elohim created man in his image and in his likeness. In the image of Elohim, he created him. Male and female, he created him. Elohim said, be fruitful and multiply, fill up the earth, conquer her, and rule over science. Okay, Elohim said, I gave you fruit trees. Okay, Perek Lamed Aleph and Bereishis. Skip to the last Pasuk of Perek Aleph. Perek Aleph. And Sefer Bereishis, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. We have gone through the entire Maisa Bereishis, and Elohim saw everything he did, and it was very good. It was evening, it was morning, day six. What happens with mankind? We said that animals were undone in how many stages? Two. First it was the disordered assortment, and then it was death. While that is mimicked in the undoing of human life, where do we see it? The first way that we say it is, and I wrote here, the plague of the firstborn and the death, ladies, of the firstborn, the last and the most devastating plague, reverses and undoes the last and most beautiful and magnificent stage of creation. And that is the formation of man. I'll tell you, it's not on your source sheet, but the source that we're using for showing that man was undone in two stages is not on your handout. It's Shemos, Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Shemos, chapter 9, verse 11, V'lo yachlu hachartumim la'amod lifnei Moshe. Man can't stand before Moshe, the magicians can't stand before Moshe because of the shechin, because of the boils. We have not addressed the plague of boils, but what happens in the plague of boils? Man can't stand upright anymore. What is man meant to be? An upright, standing, productive human being. What happens with Shechin? Man can't stand. He is starting to be reduced from his status of man to a lower status. So Shechin reduces man, and then we come to, of course, Makos Bechoros. And in Makos Bechoros, man is smitten with death. the most beautiful stage, the purpose for which the world was created, to give the world to man, has been undone. The ultimate message of the Malchus is that if man corrupts creation, mida keneged mida, measure for measure, Hashem will corrupt it for us. And his corrupting of Teva is beyond anything we can fathom. If we do not be in our place, according to its kind, ruling over nature with Seder, Hashem will say, you don't like it? Give it back. V'aretz ha'isa tohu v'vohu v'choshech al p'nei tohum. We're running out of time, unfortunately. I'm skipping a little. I want to end with two fascinating thoughts. Should I end with two fascinating thoughts, or should just... It's okay? Okay. Over and over, during the Malchus, power tells Moshe to daven. This is unbelievable. To remove the plagues. If you please look at your source sheet, Exodus 9:28. Okay? Exodus 9:28. You had to skip down a few sources. Regarding hail, barad. Ha'atiru el Hashem, daven to Hashem. There should stop to be the thunder and the barad. Daven for me. Exodus 10:17, regarding arba. And now please forgive my sin, v'ha'tiru la Hashem, and daven to Hashem. And what in fact happens, we see when Moshe goes out of the city and he davens, Shemos 8:9, v'yas Hashem kidvar Moshe. Hashem did like the words of Moshe. In other words, Moshe davened. The preceding pasuk, the frogs died. We see an element of tefillah, even in the plagues. This is fantastic. In order to bring the world back to Seder, what does Moshe need to do? David. What have we said the Malchus are, and we've proved it, going through all these sources, the Malchus are an undoing of creation. If you want to bring the world back to creation, what does Moses need to do? David. Why is that so beautiful? Because in Genesis 2:5, with Rashi on your handout, the pasuk says something very strange. Not strange, the pasuk says something important. All the plants of the field were not yet on the earth. I'm on your handout, Genesis 2:5. And all the grass had not yet sprouted. Ki lo himter Hashem Elokim ha'aretz. There was not yet rain. We said to bring the world to order of Teva, Moshe needs to daven. To get from tohu v'vohu, to emptiness and nothingness, to order, what does Moses need to do? Daven. Why didn't Hashem yet bring rain? Who knows what Rashi says? And what did man need to do? Pray. Adam Rashi says to Shema, to Bereshit 2:5. I'm going to tell you the exact Rashi, the exact Lashon, if I could find it. I could find it. Why didn't the earth yet sprout greenery? Maybe I can't find it. Because man was not yet created. There was no one to appreciate the goodness of nature, of rain. However, when Adam came and he knew the world needed rain, you know what the next words of Rashi are? Hitpalal aleihem. What did Adam do? Hitpalal aleihem. He davened v'yardu. The rain came down and the vegetation sprouted. It's the same pattern. Paro was bombarded by a lack of voracious, by a lack of teva. He was bombarded with chaos. Order is gone. What did Moses need to do to bring it back to order? Daven. What does Adam need to do to bring the world to order in the first place? Daven. The final straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak, was Adam's tefillah. You need tefillah to bring the world to perfection. In Egypt, perfection was chaos. What do we need to stop the chaos? Tefillah. By the way, it teaches us the koach of tefillah, even though this is not a tefillah shir. When we see chaos around us, tohu v'vohu, Rahman al-Islam, ladies, we are living in a world of tohu v'vohu. Never underestimate the power of prayer. Adam needed it to bring the world to perfection. Aaron and Moshe needed it to bring the world back to Seder. We need it to get out of tohu v'vohu. But now, with all that we have learned, and I thank you for your time, we're going to answer a long-standing question. Why did Hashem take away Paro's Bechira? No, don't answer. Why did Hashem take away Paro's? Why did he harden Paro's heart? What happened to Paro's free will? I'm going to harden your heart. I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, send the people, but I'm going to harden his heart. He's not going to send you. What is this? What do you mean you're going to take away his Bechira Chavshi? So how could you punish Pharaoh? The answer is very, very beautiful, and it's going to make perfect sense. When man was formed, Bereishis 2:7, second to last pasuk on your hand, Adam, with this we're finishing up. Bereishis 2:7, second to last source on your handout. Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Adam afar min ha'adam, Elokim created man dust from the earth. He blew into his nostrils the soul of life. Man became a living spirit. Vayitzar created, man is created with how many yuds? It's on your hand and it's underlined for you. Two yuds. When beasts are created, last pasuk on your handout, Bereishis 2:19, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim min Adam kol chayas hasada. How many yuds were the beasts created with? One. How many yuds was man created with? Two. What's going on here? The Baal HaTurim says to Bereishis 2:7. The Baal HaTurim says, why was man created with two yuds? Man has two yetzers. Baal HaTurim, Bereishis 2:7. Man has one yud stands for my yetzer hatov, my good inclination. One yud stands for my yetzer hara, my bad inclination. I have bechira chafshis. With my two yuds, I could choose to do good and be good, or I could choose to do bad and be bad. Animals have one yud. They don't have bechira. If it's time to cross the Masai Mara River, the beast is going to cross the Masai Mara River. Oh, there's a crocodile waiting in the river. Maybe you shouldn't go through. I only have one yud. I don't have free choice. With Bechira Chafshis, I always have a choice. Be good, do good. Be bad, do bad. Pharaoh chose the latter. He acted in opposition to the forces of nature by ruling not over beasts and science and nature and animal life, but rather over fellow man. Pharaoh treated other human beings like animals. Mida keneged mida. And the ultimate reversal of my separation. Pharaoh, a human being, had one of his yuds taken away from him. He was reduced to be like a beast of the field. And if one of his yuds was taken away from him, then by definition, he no longer has Bechira Chafshis. God didn't take away his Bechira. God reduced him to an animal. Why? You treat another person like an animal. The ultimate reversal of the Seder of Teva is a human being will become an animal. I will take away your yud. And therefore, we have resolved the question. Hashem didn't take away his Bechira. And he followed the pattern of the undoing of my separations. The ultimate undoing is that man became beast. Beast does not have Bechira Chafshis. The ultimate and everlasting message, ladies, of the Ten Makos and the great wonders was not for Pharaoh and it was not for the Egyptians, who have long ago disappeared into the mists of history. The everlasting message is for us. We're going to sit down in about a week and a half. Uleman tisaper ba'aznei bincha uven bincha. Forget Pharaoh, he's gone. Forget the taskmasters, they are gone. You're here. You sit down on Leil HaSeder. Uleman tisaper, you tell in the ears of the sons and the ears of your grandsons. Asher his alalti b'mitzrayim. What a beautiful mockery. We have now understood that God made in Egypt and the wonders that I put in them, the Yedatem ki ani Hashem. The entire purpose of this is not for Pharaoh to know that I am God. It is for you to know that I am God. The world, ladies, is only as good as man. Should man forget his tafkid, his place, his mission, his goal in this world, the world will be destroyed through a process of reversal. It is only our tefillos. The tefillot, the prayers of Adam that brought the world to fruition. The tefillos of Moshe that stopped the undoing of Bereishis, that brings the world back to the state where we can exist within the realm of nature. Ancient Egypt did not deserve the world. It was taken away from them. Remember well, says the Torah, relay, teach, transmit this message to your sons and their sons. The Yedatem. You know through all of this that I am Hashem. I wish you all a chodesh tov, the olive kais, a chag kasher v'sameach. Amen v'amen. Thank you, everybody. The pasuk says, if you look on the handout, the second to last source on your handout, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es ha'adam afar min ha'adama. Do you see that Vayitzer has two yuds? The first word of that pasuk has two yuds. And if you look at the last pasuk, Vayitzer has one yud. The first pasuk refers to the creation of human. The second pasuk refers to the creation of beast. Why is man created with two yuds? The Bala term says on that pasuk, we have a yetzer hatov and a yetzer ra. Each yud is for one yetzer. That's bechira chafshis. Animals only have one yud because they don't have free will. Pharaoh is reduced to an animal. Any other questions that you want on recording for helping to explain this year? Thank you very much.